You're listening to the Cryptid Creatures Show with Brian and Todd. If you're enjoying the show or would like to submit an encounter, visit our website at www.cryptidcreatures.net, or you can email us at info@cryptidcreatures.co. Now back to the show.
I rolled out of that tent, thinking that it was his brother on the other side of the tent. I jumped up with my arms in the air. Now, mind you, I'm trying to scare what apparently is a Bigfoot. I didn't know this at the time. And I put my hands up and I go, rah, like that. Like I'm a monster. And this thing standing there, all I can see is this bird in front of me. And I look up in the air, about 8 foot tall, this thing is what looked like to me anyhow.
This is the Cryptid Creatures Podcast. I am Brian, and with me as always is my co-host Todd. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man. I was just thinking, we've had a lot of strange and weird encounters coming up lately with different kind of creatures. It seems like more and more of these things are popping up, don't you think?
Yeah, seems as lately that I think the veil's getting thinner or something. It's getting weird.
I don't know. It's weird. Tonight's guest is David. David's coming on to talk about his Bigfoot encounter and a couple other things, I believe.
Bigfoot encounter. All right.
Yeah, and I think it was a fairly close one and a scary one at that. So I think we're going to meet David, too. He's supposed to come to the show, Salt Fork Bigfoot Ohio Conference. He's supposed to come meet us there. So hopefully we'll get to see him there. But
yeah, that'd be nice.
Ready to hear his encounter. You ready to bring him on?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's get him.
Hello.
Hello, David.
Hello there, sir.
We thank you for being here tonight with us and talking to us, man.
No problem now. My pleasure.
So we know that you had some Bigfoot experiences and an encounter, a pretty scary one at that. How old were you when this happened?
I was 11 years old now when the first sighting happened.
Okay. Why don't you start and tell us about it?
Okay. Well, it's included in my book, The Ohio Monster. I was like 11 years old, and my friend and I were going to camp out that weekend. School was just about out for the summer, and he seen a deer out there bucking in the velvet, and he said, man, it's a big one. He said, I want you to come on out and look at it, Dave. He said, me can hunt out here. I go, yeah, no problem. That sounds good. And so I went out there. My mom fixed us all kind of, stuff to eat. And we went behind the barn. It was about like right around 5:30, 6 o'clock at that time. It didn't get dark till around 8 or 8:30. We built a fire and stood around, talking. But we're looking toward the house and toward the barn. And, we kind of had our back to the fire. Long story short, the fire got out of hand. It started burning up the back countryside there. We smelled smoke, turned around like, oh, my gosh, we got to get that fire out, So we took our shirts off, swatted the fire, and swatted for about 45 minutes to an hour. We finally got the fire put out. And, needless to say that the whole valley was filled with smoke, but at least we got the fire out. And what do you want to do? You still want to camp out? I said, oh, yeah. Heck, yeah, man. That's what I came out here for. But where are we going to go now? He said, well, let's just go up on top of the hill. There won't be no smoke up there. And there's a little level spot up there. We can pitch a tent and have a little fire up there. I said, well, that sounds good to me. So we climbed up to the top of the hill. Well, it was pretty briar-infested thorn trees and didn't have a very good time climbing up that hill because it was very high. It was about almost 300 feet, high. So we got up there. We fixed the tent up and everything, the fire. This time we put water around the fire so that, we wouldn't have the same problem twice in a row. Mm-hmm. We're a kid. We're 11, 12 years old, whatever. And so we just didn't think on the first time. But so we told her, we ate our hamburgers and hot dogs and told some stories and stuff. It's just about right around midnight. So we're going to retire for the night. So we retire and lay in the tent and talk for about another hour. Then we're ready to crash. It's around 1 o'clock, 10 after one, whatever. So we, get all snuggled up in our sleeping bags, just close our eyes. And all of a sudden we hear snap, snap. snap, snap. And we're looking at each other like, whoa. I thought you said we're going to be alone up here, man. He goes, there ain't no one knows we're up here, man. I can't figure it out. So pretty soon we heard this heavy breathing, like. And, man, we are beginning to freak out now because we know something ain't right. You know, big red flag. And we're just looking at each other. And he finally said, well, wait a minute. It could be my brother up here. He might be up here trying to play a trick. I goes, oh, shit. That's what it is, because it was the only thing that made sense. I didn't know nothing about no monster, no Bigfoot or nothing. I'm only 11 years old, you know? And I said, oh, yes, it's Dave. He's up here trying to scare. Oh, okay, because he's a jokester anyhow, you know? So he goes, on the count of three, let's roll out and scare him. I go, okay. He goes, one, two, three. I rolled out of that tent, thinking that it was his brother on the other side of the tent. I jumped up with my arms in the air. Now, mind you, I'm trying to scare what apparently is a Bigfoot. I didn't know this at the time. And I put my hands up and I go, rah, like that. Like I'm a monster. And this thing standing there, all I can see is this fur in front of me, black fur. And I look up in the air, about 8 foot tall. This thing is what looked like to me anyhow. It's just looking down at me and it just kind of twisted its head a little bit like, what the? You trying to scare me, boy? Are you serious? And I'm like, sorry, Mr. Bigfoot. And I take a couple steps back, you know, and when I moved back, it took off running, but it ran right past me. You know, it could have just took me out and I wouldn't even be here telling you the story. But its intentions, I believe, now that I know a few other things, its intentions was not to hurt us, per se, but to kind of, the part I didn't tell you was, he slapped us in the head when he was in the tent, too. After he breathed heavy, I forgot to tell you, he actually hit down on the tent, smacked down on the tent and hit my friend in the head, and then he hit me in the head. I forgot to tell that part.
Okay.
All right, now, so he hits us both in the head, so I'm thinking, after all this is over with, that why did he hit us in the head like that? But I think it's because, whether we realize it or not, that Bigfoot kind of, sort of, maybe like the guardian of the forest. One thing he doesn't like, and it's been proven time and time again, Bigfoots do not like fire. So when people, that's why they see him around campfires, because they're disgusted. They think we're just trying to destroy their home when they see a fire, because they know that fire destroys the forest. So they're disgusted. And so that's why I think there's a lot of, Bigfoot activity around campfire. That's my own personal opinion anyhow. Mm-hmm. But to go on with the story, this thing takes off running and it runs across the ridge and it's out of sight. My friend peeks his head out of the tent because he stayed in the tent. He didn't roll out with me. He goes, oh, my God, that was Bigfoot, Dave. I go, Bigfoot, is that what you call it? He goes, yeah, man. He sent me a flashlight. He got his flashlight. We just left everything there, of course. Camping was over with for the night. We ran down over the hill, got all tore up with the briars and stuff all over me, and he jumped over the fence, rolled downhill. I didn't know where the fence was at. I ran smack dab into it. I flipped over, caught my foot in the fence, and I'm trying to yank my leg out because I'm thinking maybe Bigfoot came back and he's chasing us down over the hill. And I finally get my leg, but I just pulled my foot out of the boot, you know what I'm saying? And I ran down to the house, hammered on the door, didn't knock, we hammered on it. His sister finally came back and said, oh, what's the matter? Couple boys scared of the dark, huh? I said, scared of the dark? My ass! I said, there's a monster up in his head, and it hit us in the head. Oh, she rolled. She just about fell on the floor laughing. She goes, you guys drinking that booze for, man? She goes, well, wait till Dad hears you drinking. And, you know, she called. We'll call him George, my friend. We'll call him George. Wait till he hears you drinking, George, man. You're going to be in so much trouble. You know, all this kind of stuff. And then his brother, who we thought might have been the one that kind of scared us, or was down there trying to scare us, up there on the hill trying to scare us, he came running down the stairs in his pajamas. So we know it wasn't him and no one else, dude. We didn't even know where we was going to go. You know what I'm saying? When we went up on top of the hill, no one knew we was up there. And it's a 300-foot hill. So people said, I told the story to other people, and they said, oh, you know, that was just probably the neighbors up there trying to scare you. No, no one knew we was up there. It's a high hill. Who's going to wear a Bigfoot suit and climb a hill when it's 75 degrees outside, 1:30 in the morning? Now, who's going to do that?
Right.
So that's the story up to that point. In the morning, we had breakfast, and his dad came to the table, I heard you boys had a little run-in last night, huh? And I looked out, I go, a little run-in? Is that what you call it? And he kind of chuckled, and he looked over at his son, and we'll say George. George said, yeah, Dad, it was Bigfoot, and we wasn't going to stay up here any longer. He goes, well, I don't blame you boys for that. He said, sound like he's back again, huh? And I look at him, I goes, what do you mean he's back again? He goes, yeah, we had a run-in with him 6 months ago back out there at the barn. The cow started mooing one night, and I thought the neighbors might have been trying to oversteal one of our calves. So he said, I grabbed the gun off the wall. We went out there to see if we could find out what the commotion was all about. He said, we got in that barn. He said, took three or four steps, and out the door, this ran this thing. He said, big, tall, and hairy. So I threw my gun up at it, but he said it was too fast for me. I couldn't get no beat on it. And I ain't going to shoot anything unless I got a good aim on it. You know what I'm saying? I go, yeah, I understand, sir. You know, I'm 11 years old. I'm just going along with him. And I looked at my friend. I said, why didn't you tell me this thing was out there? I said, hell, I want to come out there and camp out. He goes, dude, that was 6 months ago. He goes, I thought he was long gone by this time, you know. So that was basically our story. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, boys, let's go up on top of the hill and look for some traps. And then you guys can get your tent, get your belongings, and then your dad's going to come and party this afternoon, Dave, to get you. So, you know, you can get ready and be ready to go when he comes. But I'm going to look for a few prints while we're up there. So we went up there, and then he walked right to the tent, right there by the tent. Great big one, about 15, 16 inches long. Maybe I'd say 6-7 inches wide, and it had three toes on the end of the track. And each print had three toes. There was about a dozen prints in all. He said, okay, Dave, let's follow the track. Let's see where this thing went. So we went across the hill, 12 steps, about 7 or 8 feet apart from one another. And so we got to the last one, and where the logging road continued out across the ridge, and there wasn't any close trees. The closest tree was about 20, 30 feet away. And the track stopped. And I'm like, well, it's you know, pretty wet up through here. Why didn't we see it? I said, where'd the thing go? I said, I don't see no more tracks. And he looked at him, and he goes, well, it couldn't have stepped backwards. And there's no sign of that. He looked to the side. He said, boy, span out a little bit, and I'll go on up ahead. We're going to see if we can't see where the thing went. We walked around circles for maybe 5 minutes. We didn't see nothing. No more tracks. I said, what do you make out of that? He said, well, I've hunted these woods ever since I was knee-high to the grasshopper, and I ain't never seen nothing like this. He said, but one thing I do know. I said, what's that? He looked at me, kind of chuckled. He goes, tracks don't lie. And that's always stuck in my craw, in my head. For all these years, I'm like, well, tracks don't lie. What's that tell you? That tell you this thing either up and disappeared, or I guess like the Indians say, it may be a walk into another dimension. I don't know. But that was where the last track was, and that's all there is. I don't know. What do you guys think?
Well, was there any trees close by that it could have jumped in a tree and traveled through the trees, or was this in a field?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The closest tree was about 20 feet away, and we did go and look at that tree just in case that might have, you know, it could have leaped if it was running, and there were no marks on that tree whatsoever. We were three or four of the trees up right around close to it. We looked at them, no marks, no indication whatsoever that thing would have jumped into the trees.
Before we go into that, when you guys jumped out, or when you jumped out and you tried to scare what you thought was your friend's brother and then realized that wasn't him, were you able to see its face at all in the dark?
A little bit. There was some embers still glowing on the campfire, so it wasn't completely pitch black, but it was still pretty black. But I seen its eyes, and they were just like, kind of remind you of a gorilla's eyes. They were just all, well, maybe a gorilla has white around the corner of its eyes. I don't know. But I know that its eyes were pure black, and that's what I put, you know, on the TV when I was on the Travel Channel. I said, this thing's eyes are pure black. There was no whites in it or nothing. But one thing I do know, it was not a man in a suit.
Yeah.
And so that means if it wasn't a man in a suit, it had to have been an actual living creature of some type. And now that I've, you know, researched the subject out a little bit more, it obviously had to have been a Bigfoot. There was nothing else really it could have been.
One of the things that I'm hearing, I know Brian's probably thinking it too, we've heard about these three-toed tracks before. The Falk Monster, I guess they found some tracks like that. And I'm just confused about that. You think Bigfoot, five toes and a big foot. Do you think this thing had three toes? Do you think it had that toe structure? I don't know. I mean,
all I can tell you is what I've seen. And then, you know, just like a reporter, I tell you what I've seen, and it's up to other people to listen to it to kind of figure out in their head what they believe. But what I saw was definitely three toes at the end of it. And so I mentioned about that. I said, how come I have, you know, I'm a kid. I said, how come I have three toes instead of five? He said, well, Dave, this is a different type of a creature. It's not, it runs kind of like a man, but he said it acts like an animal. And animals have different numbers of claws. So he said, obviously this one only got three. That's all I can tell you, son. He said, and the one we saw back at the barn, he said, it has to be the same creature because the track's the same size and it had three toes too. So obviously that sounds logical, you know. This thing, what they thought was hadn't bothered them again was still hanging in the area, obviously, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as the three and the five toes, I can't explain that as far as the number of toes. All I know is what I saw. I don't know what they're called, but or whether they're a little bit different than the other Bigfoot, I don't know.
Yeah, you'd mentioned the Travel Channel. You were on These Woods Are Haunted or Terror in the Woods, whatever they call that now. I know they changed the name, but you were on one of those episodes. I remember seeing you on there.
Yes, and I have to say, they done a great job with that. I mean, right down to the house. You know, the house itself, it had kind of like had gray shingles on the back of it. Just old gray shingles. And that's the same type of the house almost looked the same. I was totally amazed. And the little boy that played me almost looked just like me when I was that age. So I don't know how they done it, but they really did a good job. I told everybody. And if they would have screwed up, I would have let everybody know. But no, they done a good job on it.
What did you guys do after the tracks then, after you didn't see the tracks anymore? What happened?
Well, we just got our stuff and we went back to Old Hill. And I went home and my dad came to pick me up. And I was so excited about the thing. I was telling Dad about the story all the way home. And he was definitely upset with me. He thought I was just—he didn't believe me. He thought I was just making up. I just wanted attention. He said, "Boy," he said, "you want attention? I'll give you some attention. You go telling this stupid story to other people," and he said, "they're going to laugh at you, and I'm going to laugh with them." He said, and you know that made me feel—I had a lot of respect for my dad up until that point. I'll be honest with you. But after he said that, and he wouldn't believe me, my respect really dwindled down, because if you don't believe your own son, that's pretty bad in my book. I mean, I knew I wasn't lying, but I guess apparently he thought I was. So it kind of hurt me. It really did.
Where did this, where did you say this happened at? What state were you in?
This was Ohio. And I'm sorry, I didn't tell that. I didn't tell that's the okay. date and the time. I apologize.
No, you're
it
fine.
It was Ohio, the year of 1972.
Okay.
Well, what part of Ohio?
It was a little place called Newcomerstown, Ohio. And now if you know, you're getting ready to go to that Bigfoot conference, you're gonna probably see a guy there by the name of Don Keating.
Yeah.
And Don, I went to school with Don Keating, and we actually live there in Newcomerstown, Tuscarawas County. Tuscarawas County is part what they call the Sasquatch Triangle. I didn't know that at the time, but apparently somebody coined that phrase, and they marked out the territory where they've had the most sightings in the state of Ohio. They labeled it the Sasquatch Triangle. That encompasses Guernsey County, Coshocton, and, of course, Tuscarawas.
Okay.
So you had other things going on. What else happened to you?
That same year, I went out to my brother's. He had just bought a place in the country, 80 acres, out there by Janayton Hutton, Ohio. County Road 10 was the road he lived off of. It has a great big high hill on it. Well, he owned land on both sides of that hill and up to the top of the hill. So he had a lot of land. So he said, hey, he says, come on out, David. He said, just here, you want to hunt some deer? I had never hunted deer before. He goes, I'm planning on going with you this Saturday. He says, the weather's okay, but he said, I heard it's supposed to be a storm come in. I don't know. But come on out and stay overnight, and you can go. We can go hunting in the morning. I go, yeah. You know, I want to get my first deer, man. I was all excited. And, well, it's like you said, that storm came in, and that pretty well put the cougars on deer hunting. But he said, oh, I ain't going out. It was like 15 degrees. The wind was howling. Had snowed 8 inches overnight. And he said, I'm not going to do it, David. You want to go, you go ahead and go. He said, I'm staying in a nice warm bed. So he rolled back over, and I said, okay. So I said, well, I'm going to go. I came out here to hunt deer, man. So I went outside, bundled up, went outside, and went across the road. And said, well, I'm going to try up here. And if I run across any tracks in the snow, I guess I'll just follow them, you know. So I ran across a couple deer in the snow there, and I started following, and pretty soon I ran across those and came across those ones, and they had blood on the trail.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm like, oh, yeah. Maybe somebody shot it there and they wounded it. And maybe it'll go off and die and I'll get it. So I'm playing Hiawatha. I'm sneaking around on this trail, and I see a spot way up there. I'm like, is that deer, or is that where somebody skinned one at? So I ran up, hurried up there real quick, and I saw where somebody, you know, they found your deer, and they field dressed it. Okay. I was kind of bummed out. I said, well, you know, I'm going to go back down over, cross the road, and it's right around noontime, so I'll eat my lunch, and then I'm going to go ahead and do a little more hunting. So I ate my lunch, and it was around 1:30, 2 o'clock. There's still plenty of daylight left, and I'm walking down in the valley there, and I saw some tracks up ahead in the snow. It had quit snowing then, but it's still colder than really cold. Anyhow, I walked up to them tracks. I go, man, these are big tracks. It must be a big buck. I'm like, oh, just what I'm looking for. And I got up to the tracks, and they were big tracks, all right, but they weren't deer tracks. Here it was, same kind of a print and impression in the snow. Great Bigfoot, and it wasn't a boot because it had those same three toes stuck in the front of the snow. And I'm like, okay, should I follow this thing or should I just get out of here? I don't know. Well, heck, I got a 12-gauge loaded shotgun. If I see that thing, I'm going to shoot it. You know what? I could be the first one to bring in a Bigfoot. Oh, my gosh. This is awesome. So I start, you know, talking myself up to it, you know. So I start following the tracks. They go down, up, and it goes up to toward the edge of my brother's property on the back side. And there was a big fence up there about 4 to 5 feet high. Well, you know, it gets to that fence, and so I thought, well, I'm going to have to climb the fence, put my gun on the other side and climb the fence. So as I did, I noticed that there was one track close to the fence, and I'm looking at, where are the other tracks at? Didn't Bigfoot have to jump over the fence too, you know? Then I saw another track on the other side, about 3 feet or 4 feet on the other side. That thing had to have just walked over that fence just like it was, and that fence was 4 to 5 feet high. It just walked right over that fence just like it was me. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Oh, my gosh. You know, So I get on the other side of the fence. Now it's not my brother's property anymore, but I'm too curious as to where these tracks are going to go. So we follow them over to the cave. I followed it over, and I saw a cave up there. I'm like, you don't suppose that thing went in that cave, do you? And it was cold. And if I was a Bigfoot, I probably would have went in the cave too, you know what I'm saying? But so I followed the tracks right over to that cave they went, and they went right inside. I'm like, uh-oh, I'm not going to go in there. So I'm standing there with a gun in my hand thinking, well, if that thing comes charging out of me, I'm just going to shoot it. So I stick the gun up, you know, and all of a sudden, I start asking myself the question, what are you doing here? If that thing does come charging out after you, you think you're honestly going to stand here and shoot that thing and get it? Or is he going to get a hold of the gun, take it, and rack you over the head with it? So I'm like, I think I better get out of here. Because I could just feel this foreboding feeling come over me like, you had better go. I'm going to give you one chance, and you better go, boy. You know what I'm saying? I just had that feeling come over me. I was really scared. Even though I had a gun in my hand, I turned around. I ran back to my brother's house. I mean, when I tell you I ran, I didn't even look back. I don't know if that thing would follow me or not. I never looked back. I was just that scared. I mean, I knew it was there. You know, so it could have followed me for all I know. But anyhow, I ran back to my brother's house, and he saw me come. He walked out the door. He goes, did you get him? I go, no, I didn't get no deer, but I saw some Bigfoot tracks. You what? Oh, my, and he started laughing. He started making fun of me. Oh, the great white hunter, he's out there. He ain't hunting deer. He's hunting Bigfoot. He just hollered and laughed, you know, and really made me feel real low, just like my dad did. And so what's he do? He called my dad and said, hey, he said, Dad, he goes, David came back, but he said he found Bigfoot tracks and stuff. Oh, my dad said, let put him on the phone. And I got on the phone. And Dad said, don't you start that, you know what, again. I'm getting tired of hearing it. I'm going to come out there, and I'm going to get you. Since you're hunting Bigfoot instead of deer, I'm going to get you. And if you want some attention, boy, I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, no.
And I really was scared. I thought for sure I was going to get a whipping when he came out, you know. And so that's the kind of treatment that I got. I mean, so what did I, as a boy, what did I do after that? I completely hushed up. I never told anyone about my experience for probably about 10 years after that. I just shut up about it.
You're listening to the Cryptid Creature Show with Todd and Brian. We're glad you're here, and we hope you're enjoying the show. Don't forget to visit our website at www.cryptidcreatures.net. By becoming a member, you'll get access to exclusive videos, members-only episodes, early, unedited, ad-free releases, and even a shout-out on an episode. Join us at www.cryptidcreatures.net, and thank you for supporting the show.
So, because Whitetail people are going to laugh, but you're going to make fun of you. Because back in them days, you know, it was really frowned upon. I did tell someone, I told my uncle Homer, he was a diehard, a deer hunter, and had shot, you know, at least five or six deer up to that point. And he said, you seen what? And I told him. He goes, David, and he goes, I really want to believe you, but I want to tell you something, son. I've hunted them woods ever since I was a little kid, and we're talking about 45, 50 years. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like that out in the woods, boy. He said, now, I'm not calling you a liar. I believe you've seen something, but I'm not sure if it was what they call a Bigfoot or whatever or not. He said, I'd never seen nothing like that. So I began to question myself, you know. Did I really see what I thought I saw? And it's just, it was crazy, man.
Yeah, well, like you said, tracks don't lie. I mean, for you to run into that thing twice like that, do you think it could have been the same one that you
that thought crossed my mind, but we were 15 miles from the other location. So that's quite a bit of territory, but I anything's possible. I don't know about that. I mean, it could have been a different one, or it could have been the same one. You know, these things can travel. They can travel. They can cover a lot of ground pretty fast, from what I hear.
Yeah, we've heard that too. I'm just still hung up on the three-toed thing. I'm trying to figure out why some of them have that and some of them don't. That's just strange to me. But I've seen it. I've seen it on TV. I've seen seen that. Well, you sent some pictures of some tracks to us, which we'll put out there when we post your episode. And you've got a three-toed track on here and also a huge, huge track. Where did those come from?
Yeah, I can go into that one if you want me to tell you a story about that huge track.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I personally seen. This was, again, my friend Rich McCandlish. It's his material. It's his stuff. And maybe I can get him on here one of these days here pretty quick because he's getting ready to, on June, he's going to be really busy, going out and doing his stuff. He goes out and during the summer months into September, and he just goes out in the national forest, man, and he knows right where to go to find these things. And that's how he gets his evidence, and he pours his tracks. But he don't pour every track he sees. He said that out of every 20 tracks he sees, he might pour one. If it's really, really, really good, he might pour one. He said, if I poured every track, he said, that I seen out in the woods, he said, me and my wife wouldn't have no house to live in. I said, you're kidding me. He goes, no, I'm not kidding you. He said, I live out there in the woods, man. I see a ton of them tracks. So it's nothing to him to get a track. But anyhow, getting back to the 24-inch one, this was at a place where he was investigating with one of his other researchers. And the guy said, man, I saw a monster out here. This thing was so big. And Rich said, I didn't really know whether to believe or not until I see some actual proof, And he was telling him about this and this and that and where he thought it was. And he said, it rained one day. They came out in the morning. And he said, man, this would be a good morning to see tracks. And he goes, yeah, it would. And he said, well, where should I start looking at, since you're out here? Maybe we look around, we can find some. So Rich said, I'll give you a riddle. And he goes, you're going to what? He goes, I'll give you a riddle. He goes, when the rain comes down, where does it go? And he's like, what do you mean? I don't get it. And the other guy says, I don't know what you're talking about either. He goes, when the rain comes down, where does it go? Well, right across the road, there was a culvert. And Rich knew that a lot of these Bigfoots like to hang around them culverts. That's why he said that. He said, I bet you'll find a track right over there. So finally he had to point for him. So they said, okay, yeah, yeah. They went over there. They got right to the edge of the culvert, looked down over, and the one researcher said, right there, right there, right there is one. See it? He goes, oh, my God. So they went over, and that's where they found that 24-inch footprint at, and then they went ahead and poured it. And that's what you're looking at on the screen there.
24 inches, that's huge. I heard a theory that if you want to know how tall a Bigfoot is, you divide the inches in feet by 2 in half and then times that many feet. So if it's 24 inches, then it could be a 12 footer.
Well, at least he claims it was taller. He claims it was around 15, but without you actually measuring it, why it's really hard to tell. But even a 12 footer, we're talking that's a mammoth.
Yeah, I'll post that picture. We'll post these pictures when we drop your episode. And if we forget, I'm sure our listeners will remind us because they've done that before.
Oh, they will. They always do.
Hey, where's those pictures that you were talking about? It's amazing. I've never seen a print.
Yeah, you want to put those pictures out because all those pictures are really telling pictures, with the exception of one. And I sent it to you anyhow because it's kind of like a joke. They took us out on the Bigfoot tour and they told all what they said, Rich and his other guy, he said, well, we got, there's a Bigfoot sign on top of the hill. And if anybody can see the Bigfoot sign, why, let us know and we'll give you a couple of dollars or whatever. And they just kind of laughed, and I'm thinking, oh, they're talking about maybe like a wood talk sign or some type of a place where the Bigfoot went through. I'm like, so I'm looking around for it up there. Pretty soon someone says, oh, there's the sign. What are you talking about? They point up to the tree. Here they had nailed a sign up that says Bigfoot lives here. And so that was their sign. Bigfoot lives here. So I just put it on there as a joke,
Yeah, that's actually cool. Brian, you and I should try to hit that area sometime. That's not far away.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm ready.
I mean,
let's go.
We could at least get a print maybe. You never know. Maybe more.
Yeah.
David, sent us.
He can go out there, and almost any day he can find a Bigfoot track, And he said, I'm going to pour you one someday, Dave. I said, okay. So he did take me to this one area. I told you this on the phone. They call that area the pit. And it's definitely, it's like a place, if you walk in it, Todd, it's like time forgot the place. It's just like it's a place right out of the Ice Age. You got these high stone cliffs. It's got waterfalls coming down over the top of the cliff, over the rocks, you know. You could literally, if you had a bar of soap, you could literally walk over there and take a shower. I mean, it's a very beautiful place, but I'm going to tell you what, it's a very dangerous place because there's been Rich has seen a lot of, I call it paranormal stuff that's happened there. And we're even talking about a man. He saw an alleged man, and he got a picture. He actually has a video of this. Now this is going to blow your mind. He actually has a video of this guy he saw on a cold, I think it was mid-January, mid-February, something like that. And Rich said it was so cold, I couldn't take my hand out of my jacket any more than in about 10 seconds, or it had got frostbite. And he said the ground was just frozen solid. There was water on the trees. It was frozen. So he see this guy walking in the pit down there, and they look at him. And Rich says, I was going to say something to him, but then I looked again, and he said he was like limping or something. He goes, that doesn't look right. And all of a sudden, this guy hunches over like he's getting ready to leap or something. But the guy had on a ball hat. He had on a ball hat. He had on a – look at this. A regular thin shirt and a pair of blue jeans. And then all of a sudden, I saw this guy crouch behind a tree. And he said, all of a sudden, I saw hair on his body. He caught this thing in the middle of transformation. And you can believe it. I know a lot of people that will hear it will probably laugh at it. But this is what this man said. And this man, I've never, ever caught this guy, my part. I never heard him lie. I never have. This guy, if you talk to him, you know he ain't going to spoof you. And besides all that, they got it on video. He had his cameraman with him. So his cameraman yanked out the camera, turned it on. Rich said, oh, you! And he pulled out his gun, and he took off running toward the guy. Well, the guy becomes an animal. And he saw this thing leap over toward the hill and crouch behind another tree. Couldn't see it real good. So he's running over right toward the tree. He never saw it go nowhere. He has a gun on it. He says, come out, you blackie. He has the gun pointing right at it. And then he looked behind there, and nothing's there. No one, it's not there no more. And he said, if it would have ran somewhere, I could have easily heard it. And he said, besides that, the hill, you have to see, I've seen the hill. It goes almost straight up. You would have to be in top shape, and it would still take you about 10 seconds or 15 seconds to get to the top of that hill, sprinting. And it was frozen ice. You're not going to get up there. You know what I'm trying to say? He said, the only thing I know, and I know it don't make no sense, he said, it went into the hills by somewhere or something. But he said there was no place where you couldn't see what happened to it. It just disappeared. I said, that's a heck of a story. He said, well, it would be a story, but I got it on video. So he said, there you go. I said, well, then it's no longer a story. It's a valid thing that happened. If you got it on video, and footprints don't lie and cameras don't lie, at least the camera these guys are using, it was nothing's Photoshopped. And it's not really a picture, it's a video. They got pictures, but it's pictures of the video. You know what I'm trying to say? He ran the video through and stopped it and then took a picture of this guy. So that's why we got pictures of the guy. And he has it on video. I haven't actually seen that particular video, but he has about 15 of videos that have excellent stuff. I have seen three of his videos. And he has a video of a UFO that landed right outside of his cabin there. Has a video of it. And you can even see the men walking back and forth. And they're doing something down there, but you just can't tell what they're doing. He has a video of that. It happened, right around 3 o'clock or so, 3-4 o'clock in the morning. He has that. He has the video of this red, great big orb thing just going around that several different circles. Can't figure out what it is. He has a video of some, what they call, he calls lights in the forest. And I guess, lights in the forest? And so he describes it all to me. And so I've done some research on it. And I found out what the lights are. I never even told him what they are. I know what those lights were. He said, but when you would get close to the lights, they would disappear. And so he said, he went back, took his other researcher. Another researcher was looking from the cabin. He went back to his cabin. He said, hey, you come over here. And said, what he did, the lights reappeared. He said, okay, now you come over with me. And Todd, he said, you stand by the truck and you watch us. So him and David walked over toward the light. They got close to the light. Boom. The light shut off. And so he went back. He told Todd, did you see the lights go off? He said, no, when the lights were off. He said, they were still there until you guys just walked back to me. Then he said, now I can't see them. But he said, they were there until you guys just walked up within about 3 or 4 feet of me. He said, they were still there. But yet they saw them disappear. He said, I don't have no answer for that. I don't. He said, all I know is that I have two witnesses to corroborate my story. And they had the lights on the wall. They tried to take a picture of them, but they couldn't take a picture of the lights. The lights wouldn't show up on the camera. He said, that was the dangest thing I've ever seen. The lights would, they couldn't get a picture of it. So what do you think of that story?
Well, Brian, what do you think?
You know what they call them lights? I found out what they call them. You know what they call them? Night crawlers. They call them night crawlers. They're lights that will appear in the forest. Then you get up, you get close enough to them, they disappear. And they call them night crawlers.
You know, we've got a pretty open mind. We've heard a lot of stuff. I'd love to see those videos if you had any access to them. But who knows what's going on out there? You know, it could be anything. You know,
What did that guy change into? Was it like a dog man type creature?
Like a werewolf type thing. Yeah. He didn't grow a whole lot when he saw it turned into like a werewolf, and then he couldn't stand anymore because he jumped behind that tree. So I don't know how much of the animal that they caught on the video. I'm sure they got animal guy, whatever. I'm sure they caught something on there. He says they have they caught it in the transformation from a man to a werewolf. And you tell me, how many people have a video like that one?
None.
I don't know. Well, maybe
one, apparently.
We know of.
To catch something like that in the transformation is almost like we're talking about maybe one in five people in the world. They might have something like that. Or he might just be the only one. I don't know.
Well, we sure would like to get a look at that if you can.
Right. Don't worry. I'll see if I can't get back with him and see if it's possible to view that video. And get it. And he also has another one. He said, tell them this one, Dave. And so I saw this one, so I can verify this. He's out getting wood at his cabin, and like I said, there must be some type of a portal or something like that right around his cabin, because he sees a lot of what I call cryptid activity around his cabin. He has seen Bigfoot. He's seen dog man. He's seen creatures that he can't even describe. He has even taken pictures of ghosts around his cabin. And he said, I didn't even believe in ghosts. But he said, I took pictures of these werewolves, no, not werewolves, but dog men, and Bigfoot. And he said, when I got the film developed or whatever, he looked at it, he goes, there were ghosts. I could see people like real, how do you describe a ghost? He said, they weren't solid, but they were there. You could see the outline of them. And he said, and he's telling me about all these different ones that he's seen. And he has showed me the pictures. And a lot of them are blurry, but you can make out particular forms on the pictures. So, hey, I'm not going to say that's not a ghost or whatever, because there's an actual form there. It's just not a solid one. So, it is what it is there. And he said, now listen to this. I'm going to give you another one. Oh, my God. This has happened. This literally happened. I was at his cabin. And so he's, you know, he's on his recliner. It's like right around, I think he said it was around 11 to 12 o'clock, something like that. And all of a sudden, he always, you know, double locks the doors. Always double locks them. So he said, my front door, of course, was double locked. And, you know, I don't know if he has another door in his trailer or in his cabin or not. I ain't sure. But anyhow, he was security locked inside that cabin. Well, he's sitting there smoking. He smokes a cigar. So he's either sitting there smoking a cigar, whatever. He said, and kind of half asleep. And I was kind of writing something down, but I was kind of half asleep, he said, to be honest. He's all of a sudden, my front door flies open. And he said, and the light, the electricity in the campground, it goes out a lot. Well, that night it was out. So he was basically sitting there in the dark, except for he had his oil lamp lit. Other than that, he was in the dark. And there's no lights anywhere. His front door flies open, double locked now, mind you, and a real bright light was shining at his front door. So he's like, oh, my God, I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to take a picture of that light, you know, to prove to people that this thing, whatever it is, that they'd open up my door, man. I knew that door was locked. So he fiddles around. He gets his phone up. He takes a picture. He looks down at his phone because he was going to take several more, right? His phone went dead. He only got one picture, and then his phone went dead. So he's like, oh, you know, man, you know. And so he, I don't know if he had a gun with him then or not, but he, I think he might have had his pistol laying there, whatever. He picked that up, and he pointed toward the light, and he said, I am totally, I'm fearful. I think this, whatever it is going to get me. Because he said, it due to unlock two locks on my front door. He said, now my front door is open. Anything can walk in. And the light's there, and the light stayed there for about, he said, 5-7 minutes or whatever, and then it went out. And he said, I ran over that door, and I shut that thing. I relocked it. And he said, I'm shaking like a leaf the whole time. He said, I got my hand on the door, on the lock. He said, and my hand's literally shaking. I couldn't stop it. He said, I was so scared.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo, and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I can imagine.
And this man, he's a military veteran. He's been in wars. He has, you know, he's actually killed people because he was in battle. And yet he said that he was scared. He said, it's the most scared I've ever been. Wow. He said, whatever opened up that door could have easily got me.
This pit area you're talking about, and this gentleman, and hopefully you can get him in contact with us. I'd like to get him on the show and talk to him myself, honestly.
Definitely.
This pit, this is in Ohio too then? I don't want you to tell the exact location because I don't really want people showing up there and getting in any kind of trouble. But
Well, yeah, it's in Ohio. We'll just leave it at that. I don't want
to. Yeah, that's good enough.
Because I told you, you know, on the phone that the place at one time had been closed for a long time. So some things happened there, and they don't want that information to get out. And so we're just going to leave it at that. But like I was saying, if that's somebody, people, well, I want to go out squashing. I want to go out, you know, whatever. Well, you know, Bigfoot is fairly harmless. It really is. It might look scary. It might, you know, it will scare you. It will scare me. But as much as I would be scared of looking at a Bigfoot, this thing called the Dog Man is a way worse creature. And he is full of energy, and the things always seem like it's pissed off. Why? I don't know. But Rich said this thing will eat you alive.
Yeah, we believe that. We've heard some stories.
Yeah, we've heard a lot. So
y'all know that I'm telling you the truth on that. And then there's two different type of dog men. I don't know if you know that or not. There's the regular dog man, if you want to call them regular. I mean, one swath and he'll decapitate you. But the other one is even worse than him. And they call it the Leaper. This thing is fast, it's agile, and it's quiet. It'll sneak up on you before you even know what's going on.
Well, I don't like the sound of that at all.
No, me neither.
No, especially in an area where they've been spotted before. And so that's this place called the Pit. And I would not advise, and I won't even go. I will not go to that place. I know right where it's at. And I will not go. You can call me scared. You can call me chicken. I will not go to that place by myself. I will always have somebody with me if I go.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I'm terrified of dog man. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But I want to see one, I don't know, far away, in a car.
Driving away from it, maybe?
Me too. Well, something I can view with my binoculars, huh?
There you go. Well, yeah, we were talking, like you said earlier, you're going to be at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference this weekend, which we're going to, and you're going to come say hello, good. I hope. But
I sure am. Yeah, I'm going to look y'all up, and I got another table I'm supposed to go to. Doug Waller, he's a book author. He has about 5 or 6 books out. He gets people stories, and he writes them down in books or whatever. He's always selling his books. He's always big on selling his books, you know. But he said for me to look him up and, you know, come over and say hi and stuff there too. And, you know, this thing only happens once a year. So I want to go spend a little bit of money, get myself some night. There's a guy that I know he's going to be there. I know he's going to be there. He sells these monster flats. And he has this one great big one, has Bigfoot on it, has the dog man, has the moth man on it, which is the wing spread. Ooh. You know, I want to get that one. It's, on the bottom of it says, I believe in monsters.
Cool.
You know. I'm gonna nice. Get that one, man. I know he's gonna be there. If he isn't, he's stupid. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, he can make a lot of money this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah, he can clean out, man, on them because you got your perfect clientele right in there wanting that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait. I'm all excited, and I only work Thursdays and Fridays. So I'm retired, so I only work 2 days a week. And after Friday, I got the weekend. Saturday, the Bigfoot Conference. I'm gone, baby. It's gonna be my first time. I've been there for like probably about 20 years.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Wow.
Well, we'll definitely see you there.
Well, good. We'll look forward to meeting you then in person.
Yes, I look forward to meeting you guys too, man.
Why don't you tell us about your book?
Okay, awesome. I'm glad you brought that up. It's called Supernatural Cryptids, Return of the Nephilim.
Cool. Ooh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
You like that one?
Is it out already or when is it? Is it?
Oh no! I got maybe about a quarter of it done. I'm just working on Rich's stories and getting them, you know, getting the details exactly accurate, getting dates on the stories. And what I love about this book is there's 3 parts to it. Okay, there's the first part is Living in the Days of Noah. That's going to be by me. It's going to be a lot more scriptural based and books outside of the Bible, like the Apocrypha and stuff like that, to talk about, like the Book of Enoch. I don't know if you've ever heard about that one or not.
Yeah, we're reading that right now.
Yeah, talks about these fallen angels, how they came down, you know, and it kind of corroborates Genesis 6:1-4, and how they had, you know, they had allegedly had sex with women, and they produced giants. The Bible is very, very specific about the giant part, and said the sons of God, and there's only 5 places in the Old Testament talks about the sons of God, and it's always in reference to angels. So it sounds to me like there was some shenanigans going on there, and it stands to reason because real quickly when the Adam and Eve fell, well, you know, the Lord pronounced a curse upon mankind and upon the world, whatever, and upon the serpent. The serpent being the devil, kind of incarnated. The serpent or whatever, but God spoke to the serpent because he knew who he was. He knew it was the devil because the devil deceived man. So he actually took the world back from Adam and now he's the king of the world. Well, God said, okay, that's fine, but I tell you what's going to happen. He said, I will put enmity between your seed and her seed and between you and the woman and between your seed and the woman's seed. And he said, her seed will crush your head. But he said, you'll be able to, you know, to hurt his heel. And we know, well, he hurt the heel, the Messiah by, you know, the crucifixion and whatever. But in the darkest day of Christianity, through the death of the Son of God, little did he know that he became the sacrifice for all mankind and was able to save all mankind. And in that way, he defeated the devil. And we know that according to the Bible, the devil is going to spend the rest of his eternity in the lake of fire, of course. But anyhow,
right.
I don't want to go start preaching or anything here on the podcast. But that's the basis of my part. Now let's get away from my part. Let's get over to Rich's part. His part is called, part number two is called Exposing the Strange. And that's the all these cryptids that he has seen. And he's seen probably about 4 to 5 different beings of cryptids. He's seen the grass man. He's seen the actual Bigfoot several times, interacted even with it, to tell you the truth, but we won't go into that. And he's seen, of course, dog man, and he has even had the dog man creature. He's had him, it's ran on top of his roof before, his cabin roof. It's ran across his roof, he said, probably 10, 15 times. Again, that's something hard to swallow, I understand. If I didn't know the man, you know, as well as I do, I'd say that's a big story there. But no, his wife even corroborated it. And then his wife, well, I won't tell her name, but I know his wife, and she's a church going woman. She ain't going to lie about that. And when she told your story, you can see fear in her eyes when she told it too. She said, yes, it was definitely there. I heard it. And then Rich told me some of the other stories, you know, about he would run from one end of his cabin to the other, and then he saw this thing leap off, and he watched it run up into the woods.
Yeah, they're probably...
So, you know, take it however you want. Yeah, I know it all sounds really strange. I don't blame anybody if they don't believe it, but the thing of it is it really is true. It's actually... And then right there, there's a tree right there by his cabin. I sent you the pictures of this. Where they saw the dog man critter that night, and I'll tell you when it was. It was on February the 1st, 2018, because I read Rich's journals, and he has it all in his journals. He has it by 3 or 4 different stories of it. February the 1st, 2018, his wife came into the cabin and said, Rich, you got to come out here and see this. He goes, what now? She said, get out here and look at this. All right, he said. So he was busy doing something, I guess. But he got up and he walked that side, and she pointed up 10 feet up from his tree with a great big bite mark. I mean, took the bark right off of it, bit into the tree, and he said you could literally see the fang marks, and the teeth marks in the bark, or in that bare bark. And so, of course, like he does everything else, he took a picture of it. And the thing of it is, guys, this thing actually glowed in the dark. I don't know if the saliva was on it or whatever, but that attributed to it glowing. But the bite mark, and when it was dark, that thing glowed like he had a light on or something.
Hmm. Wow.
Well, when you get your book published, you'll have to let us know, and we can post it out there on our website. And our
page let us
for
know
you.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely will, guys. I'm all excited about it. And then the third part is the body of evidence. And, of course, that's all the pictures. You can't put a video in the book, but we do have a surprise on the back cover, because we're going to have a little link that you can go to, and you're going to be able to hear some howls and growls that these dogmen and grass and the Bigfoot have howled and growled out there, and then you're going to see something else that is going to be very, very telling. And you're going to be like, oh, my God, he literally has a video. He's going to have a video on there where you can watch where he was down in the pit. And he shined up his camera, and he actually caught a dog, or not a dog man, but an actual Bigfoot that was up there standing on a knoll looking down at him.
Is that picture you sent us?
Yeah, that's the picture.
Okay.
That's not the video, but that is the picture, yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's a picture something. That's definitely the one that caught my attention out of all those.
Right. And listen, guys, I got other pictures that I couldn't send to you because Rich has not had me to release them yet. And they are pictures of the dog man. And one of them was actually taken underneath a security light underneath this guy's barn because he kept on hearing this thing out in the barn. And so he decided that he would put a camera out there. And this dog van thing, and I seen it, it's clear as day. And it looks bad. I had the picture, but I couldn't send it to you guys because I haven't been released to do that yet. But I got it, and I got another dog man picture he had too.
As long as they're in the book, that gives everybody a reason to buy the book.
Yeah, definitely. So I say, let us know when that thing's ready.
They're gonna love it. They're gonna love that book's gonna be something else. And I'm trying to have it out, if at all possible, have it published before Christmas.
And what are you calling it again? One more time.
Supernatural Cryptids. Return of the Nephilim.
Okay.
Awesome.
David, we want to thank you for talking with us and telling us your stories and encounters and all the stuff about the pit. That's very interesting, and we do believe you. We know that there's things out there, very strange things, and we're learning more and more every day that there's more things out there that we don't know about.
Oh, yeah. Even Rich said that he said, I've heard growls and howls out there of critters. He said, I've been in the woods for 50 years. He said, some of them ones I've heard within the last 5 years, he said, I don't recognize them. He said, that's the scary part. He said, I don't recognize them. And he said, they're loud and they sound very big. But he said, I don't know what they are.
Who knows? Maybe you don't want to know.
Who knows, right?
You don't want to know, yeah. Some things are better left a mystery.
That's just what I say. Some things are better left alone, if you can.
Right.
Exactly. So I'm going to see you at the old Bigfoot show coming up.
You got it. A couple days.
That's right.
Can't wait to see y'all.
Same to you, buddy. You come find us or we'll find you. We'll run into you sometime.
No problem. Okay, I'll see you, Todd and Brian, this weekend.
All right, David. You take care. We'll see you soon.
All right, David. Yeah, uh-huh. Take it easy, man.
Uh-huh, buddy. Bye-bye.
That's crazy. Crazy stuff.
Wow, yeah, that was wild.
I mean, talking about jumping out to scare what you thought was a person and seeing that, I don't know.
And wasn't a person.
Probably messed his pants. He probably didn't want to talk about it, but, you know.
I know I would have.
Wow. I mean, that'll throw you off big time.
Oh, yeah.
Talking about the pit and all that other strangeness that his friend, we have to get his friend on. Talk to his buddy.
Yeah, we need to do that. We need to get a hold of him.
Hear what he has to say about all that stuff. Nevertheless, another great episode.
Yes, it was.
Again, thank you, listeners. We appreciate you all the time.
We appreciate all of you.
It's a privilege to do these shows for you and have you guys listen. So.
And we enjoy every minute of it.
Couldn't do it without you, brother.
It's always fun, man.
All right, my friend. Until next time.
Not on, brother. See you.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.